you have it, music lovers. A bit of the Squirrel Nut Zippers. John Landecker at 720 WGN, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. With Tom Maxwell, who's part of the... Well, I don't know if you still are, Tom, but you definitely were. You were a squirrel in the Squirrel Nut Zipper. Or you were a nut. Or you were a nut or you're a zipper. I'm not sure which one.
I zipped it up in 99, though, John. I put in my time, and then I was done.
And Emrys Maxwell, who is the co-host of the podcast that you have shelved, is hopefully with us. Hello, Emrys.
I am here. Hello.
Hi. So we have a discussion to have. We're going to have a discussion about the best music you've never heard. And I've got it. This is a little embarrassing, but I'm going to do it anyway because I never thought I would have the opportunity. So I used to participate in team trivia tournaments in my neighborhood. And the Christmas ones would always have a music section. You know, they play a bit of music. You got to say the title and then you got to name the group. So they played this section. And you're aware of the old instrumental group, The Ventures, yes?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So this sounds exactly like The Ventures. And it gets to me and I go, "Bungo, Ventures." And he goes, "No, Squirrel Nut Zippers." And I went, "What?" So
you're welcome.
I couldn't believe I was going to get you on today because, like, I never in my life would I ever think I'd ever run into a member of the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
You're still mad about that Ventures thing. I mean, I don't blame you.
No, I'm not really mad about it. It was just, it was very, what was the word? I'm past it, but I had to bring it up with you tonight because, my goodness, how many opportunities am I going to have to do with this? So the Squirrel Nut Zippers, a band that you had that I played just a bit of right there, and we're going to play a little bit more, had a big band sort of old-fashioned sound to it, but that's not what we're here to talk about. So the best music you've never heard, we're going to talk about, or the podcast is called Shelved, I believe, and this is about songs that we've never heard but should have, right? The best music you've never heard, except you must have heard it, right?
You know, well, some of it is stuff that never came out, and some of it was stuff that was recorded and then withheld from release for a while, sometimes decades. Okay. And Emerson and I sort of conceived of this thing and kind of did the whole bit, you know, the research and the hosting and the writing and all that stuff in collaboration with Gunpowder and Sky and Audible. And we cover, gosh, what is it, Emerson? Like 8 records.
The first season, we have 8 projects that we get into. And sort of to expand upon this idea of music heard or not, some of it is stuff that is actually very sort of like beloved by in-groups and fans and ultimately did have a life. But it's really sort of more about the stories behind why there's such a delay in release or reception of the material itself. There's never not an interesting story where there is a shelved record, I have to be honest with you. And there's hundreds of them.
We're talking about at least, well, the ones that they've given me on the tonight are Tupac and MC Hammer, Yoko Ono, Pink Floyd, Q-Tip, Velvet Underground, Jeff Buckley, you know, very familiar names to all of us. But obviously these and other individuals have released music that for some reason was, what's the term I'm looking for, controversial, or a label just decided they didn't want to release it, or what?
There's almost every reason in the world. Sometimes the labels were like, this is too far ahead, or this is not commercial enough. Sometimes the band left the label. Like, for example, the most commercially successful Velvet Underground record was released 15 years after the band broke up
My God.
from from a collection of recordings that had sat in the vaults for at least that long, since the late 60s. And it's because the band signed to another label, mm-hmm. and those recordings just got shelved, literally.
Right.
And then somebody was like, hey, they literally didn't know they existed until this producer found them in a warehouse. It was like,
unbelievable.
Gee, we should release these. And it came out in the early 80s, and it was a big deal. So, yeah, there's kind of every reason in the world why records get shelved. And any artist that you can think of,
yeah,
who's your favorite artist,
right?
We guarantee you they have at least one shelved record.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Bruce Springsteen.
Couldn't tell. Oh, yeah, no, I think Bruce has two.
Two shelved records for Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'd have to go check our master list.
It might not be full records, but projects for sure, yeah.
Okay, projects. Yeah. Okay. Wow. That is
the Beatles had a shelved record.
Oh, what record was that? I'm not surprised, but tell that story.
It was supposed to be called Get Back, and it was put on the shelf for over a year, and it came out as called Let It Be. But at the time, they just abandoned it.
You know, you leave something alone for a while, something gets in there, and the letters rearrange themselves. I don't know how they do that, but we're gonna do more on this very topic when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, they're there. The Squirrel Nut Zippers doing a tune, I believe, entitled The Suits Are Gonna Pick Up the Bill. I hope that's correct. Tom Maxwell, who's part of that group, not anymore, but was, and Emrys Maxwell, who co-hosts a podcast called Shelved, which is basically stories about music that you've never heard by people that you have, so to speak. Let's see if that's one way of putting it, I guess. I mean, music that is held back for whatever reason. And you said prior to the break that we could literally name any artist and they would have music that was held back. I can understand maybe the business end of a company, the Suits, so to speak, not wanting to release something because of some sort of contractual argument. But were there other reasons? Were there content reasons? Were there subject matter or something along those lines?
Well, that's a really good question. One of the episodes that I found, actually, I sort of lost my mind in the research of the story because I feel that it's never really been told before. And a lot of it is sort of us putting puzzle pieces together. So, mm-hmm. You know, we can only sort of guess the reason why in this case. But Yoko Ono has a shelved record that ultimately did come out in a sort of legacy box set. And the story behind that is really one of an alternate reality. And so it's from sort of all that I could divine in putting this episode together, it sort of really seemed that if this record had come out, that there may not have been a reconciliation with her relationship with John Lennon. And it's, again, sort of having to do a bit of scrying and divining to put the pieces together, but it seems very much that way. So yeah, it's all manner of things. I think some of these projects, really, if they had come out in their time, maybe would have changed the nature of reality.
Wow, well, that's a big one, John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And as I'm thinking of it and piecing together the Yoko Ono John Lennon relationship that was on, and then there was another woman involved with John for a while, and then back again, would it be that this Yoko Ono record was sort of a statement against John? Would the material be, you know, like Taylor Swift mentioning all her boyfriends? I mean,
You know, it really seems sort of the opposite. It seems actually very much a manifesto of independence. And
oh, I see.
I think this is an aspect of Yoko as an artist that I think many people have been quick to overlook or dismiss because of her relationship to this sort of monolithic energy and force of the Beatles and John Lennon. But she's a very prolific and talented, super creative mind in her own right. And I think I really, with this episode, I think Tom and I really just wanted to sort of give the opportunity to show a sort of deeper aspect of her artistry.
And that record or recording has been released, or is it still being held back?
It was released in the 90s through Rykodisc in her Ono box, the sort of box set legacy compilation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it was recorded in the mid-70s during that so-called Lost Weekend period when she and John were separated.
Right.
And like Emmer said, it's really like an independence manifesto without being, you know, without talking smack or being, you know, mean. It's more just like, hey, I'm cool. I'm good. Here I am. And then it was put away a few months before their reconciliation. And not only that, some of the songs from that record were repurposed for the final album, Double Fantasy, that the two of them did together.
Amazing. Well, I'm guessing that that's exactly the kind of material you get if you hear this podcast called Shelved. Am I right?
You bet your sweet pippy. I mean, you're going to get all kinds of crazy stuff.
I love this. This is fantastic.
You're going to get a Pink Floyd record where they tried to make a whole record without playing any musical instruments. And not only that, it was supposed to be the follow-up to Dark Side of the Moon. So they're banging on pots and pans and playing rubber bands. This is not a joke.
No.
It was a project called Household Objects. And that was literally what they tried to do. And they worked on it for months. And we actually got two different recordings from that project and featured in that episode.
These recordings that you obtained, were they of a bootleg nature or were they?
Yep. Yeah. I'm not sure that stuff ever got a proper release.
It sounds, well, it certainly sounds eccentric. Maybe that's the right word. I mean, if you're banging on pots and pans and, you know, if they're coming off of Dark Side of the Moon, which is, you know, just a mega hit that, you know, maybe they felt that they could do anything.
I think that's true. And the other thing is that, and so when we first got into that project, we were like, well, this is just a bunch of rock stars who just have too much time on their hands.
Yeah, right.
This is just silly. But when we got into it and we looked at a history of the band and where they were at, you know, emotionally and the relationship that they had with their founder, Syd Barrett, we started uncovering some very deep emotional and personal stuff that was actually reflected in those shelved recordings. So the story is always so much more interesting than what you assume the story is.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. The podcast is called Shelved. Where did you come up with a concept for this? Because it's an awesome concept and requires really going down a lot of rabbit holes, I would imagine, depending on
We like to listen to music. We really like music.
Yes.
And so, you know, Emrys is this just huge Jeff Buckley fan. Mm-hmm. The guy only turned out two records, and one of them was released posthumously, you know.
Right.
So what's the story behind that, you know? And in fact, the material that went into that last record of his was material that he, as an artist, never wanted to see the light of day. So there's a story to be told.
So he didn't even want to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he didn't. Well, I was going to move on, but no, he didn't. In fact, the master tapes of a record that he recorded with Tom Verlaine that were going to be his last record, he was actually going to burn, physically set on fire.
Wow.
Emrys can tell this story better than I can.
Oh, I believe that he actually did.
Huh. He actually burned his own music.
I believe that there, and we were lucky enough to, you know, speak to some people who were in his band at that time, and they shed a lot of light on the circumstances around that. And it sounds very, very dramatic, and in a way it is, but he was quite adamant at the time before his passing. He went to his manager at the time and said, you know, please don't let the label have these master tapes because I don't know what they're going to do with them. And then, you know, lo and behold, they make a record. It's there's a lot of unhappiness in some situations, but then, you know, you can't be too upset about it because we have all this great music that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the idea came when I got this Bill Evans record, who's a jazz pianist. And the whole liner notes were, this was one of several projects that he recorded for his label in the early 60s, and they just put them away. And there's a lot of shelved jazz records. Now, we didn't end up going for that. But then I was like, well, gee whiz, that one Velvet Underground record was shelved, and the Let It Be record was shelved. The Beach Boys' Smile record was shelved.
Yeah.
Seems to me, especially me, you know, us being musicians and knowing a lot of musicians and just understanding that there's stuff that's recorded that doesn't, you know, never sees the light of day. It was like, gee, what a cool angle that is if you really want to tell the story of an artist or show people what the industry is like. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed, and, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so if you want to tell a good story, this is, seems to be a really cool angle. And we are, of course, we were very happy people getting to talk to, you know, the record label executive who found the shelved Velvet Underground tapes or the guys that were in Jeff Buckley's band. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Great.
I want to thank both of you for being with us. And wow, what a fantastic concept. And I'm going to start listening to Shelved. That's the podcast. Tom and Emery, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciated it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for having us, John.